since today. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn. I want us to look at God's Word. Let's see here. Look at God's Word with me. Whoa, wait a minute. What in the world? How did that get up there? How did that become a part of my presentation here? Well, let me see if maybe the next slide will help me. Whoa! What in the world? How did that get in my, who's been messing with my PowerPoint? That's what I want to know. You know, by the way, where's Miss Dupin, by the way? Shoot, I was hoping we'd gotten her over, but I guess we didn't. You know, this is the kind of staff that I have to work with around here. You need to pray for me. I was working on a really serious project the other day, happened to leave my phone sitting on April Darty's desk for just a few moments, walked away, and these guys grabbed my phone. I go to get on it the other day, and I've got about 20 pictures that look like that. And I'm going, where did those come from? I don't remember taking those. I wouldn't have taken those, believe me. So anyway, you got to watch who you prank around here. You never know when it might come back on you. You know, I got to tell you real quick, I always love telling personal stories, and let me just do this real quick as we move into our message this morning. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege and honor to accompany Rick, my friend Rick Miller, and Gary Hoyle. There's Gary, and Isaiah and I were able to go on an incredible hike on the Appalachian Trail. Lots have been asking about that and been telling stories about that. And today, our message today is going to be on Moses, and we're going to talk about not playing it safe, but really walking by faith. And I like challenges. I don't know about you, but I find the older I get, the more I need to put myself in situations and circumstances that challenge me. Because I think it's very easy as you get older, especially, to really fall into a spirit of complacency, to want to pull back, to want to make safety your ultimate goal and priority. And I think sometimes you have to really press against that in life, especially if your life's going to be used for God's glory. You can't play it safe. It's outside the safety zone is what we call the growth zone. It's where you really begin to learn and grow and trust God and experience God. And Rick and Gary and I are in a small group together here at the church. And man, about a year ago, we started planning, and Rick started really leading us and coordinating. And he just really blessed us all by providing the opportunity and putting things together and getting supplies. And, here's one of the fun things that we did on this thing is we were trying to figure out what the weather would be like. You know, we knew we were going to be in some mountainous places and trying to figure out the weather. And we were looking at Johnson City, Tennessee, because that was the section of the Appalachian Mountains that we were going to be hiking and the trail that we were going to be hiking. We were what's called a section hiker, not a through hiker. And most all the people we met were through hikers. There's about 4,400 people a year who attempt to do the whole six-month trail. It takes 6 months at least. It's 2,200 miles. It goes all the way from Georgia to Maine. That's quite a trail, believe you me. And it's all basically, a majority of it's on the ridgeline of mountains, the Appalachian Mountain chain. And so we're looking at Johnson, Tennessee. The weather was around 70s, and in the evenings it was going to be in the 50s. So, as Isaiah and I were getting things together, we largely got summer clothing. I like those dry wicking shirts, and you get hot and sweaty. They kind of help you cool off. And so I had some clothes like that, and that's pretty much all the clothes I had, in fact. I didn't have any insulated underwear. Boy, was I ever praying and wishing I did. Because this is kind of where we found ourselves in a couple of days. That streak across my face is snow. It's the wind's about 40 miles an hour. Right there, we're at about 6,287 feet, which is over a mile high. We're on the top of what's called Roan Mountain, R-O-A-N. It's one of the highest mountain peaks on the eastern side of the U.S., and we hiked all the way up that thing. It was pretty awesome, wasn't it, Rick and Gary? And in fact, that last morning, this is what we woke up to. Not only our tent was covered in snow, the plants were covered in snow. We were in a meadow. It was absolutely beautiful, but it was so cold. We figure it was somewhere in the 20s, and Yeah, we weren't exactly, thank God for Wilson Frazier and his sleeping bag he loaned me. He saved my life, and I'm thankful for that. We did make it to the top of the mountain, and there's a little better weather there, and we overcame, and it was stretching, but it was a great memory. My son said to me when we got back here to the parking lot, he looked at me. Well, it was very cool. He gave Rick and Gary a hug and thanked them, and then we got in the car, and he said, Dad, that was an epic adventure, and I'll never forget it the rest of my life. And I said, that's two thumbs up right there. So, Rick, thanks so much, my friend. Amen. Okay, we're diving in. We're diving into Running with the Giants this morning. And we have a patriarch of the faith that I want us to look at today. His name's Moses. Everybody say Moses. Say it kind of with that, you know, that inflection there, kind of like Charlton Heston does, you know. Or, no, Yul Brynner back in the old classic, Moses. And this morning, Moses is coming out of the stands, running with the Giants. We've been talking about Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you and I are surrounded literally by a great cloud of witnesses. They're men and women of faith who've gone before us, who've already run this race, and who have a lot to say to you and I about how we should run the race. And quite honestly, if you've never thought about this, they're cheering you on. They're cheering you on. It's like you're down on the track and they're in the stands and they're cheering you on. And one by one, we've been asking them to come out of the stands and theoretically put their arm around us, speak to us about their lives and what they experienced so that you and I, as Hebrews 12:1 says, can run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. So here's what Moses, I believe, would say to us today. One of the main patriarchs, one of the main figures of the Old Testament, he would say this: for when your problems overwhelm you, abandon safe and live by faith. Abandon safe and live by faith. Kind of a catchy little saying. Won't you say it with me? Abandon safe and live by faith. See, Moses, he had the opportunity to play it safe. He grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh. You realize that, right? You know the story. He's Pharaoh's daughter, finds him in the river, takes him in. He grows up in palatial provision. He grows up in the palace of the wealthiest and most powerful nation on earth at that time. And listen to what he does. And sometimes we forget this about Moses. He abandons it. He literally abandons the palatial lifestyle to pursue the call of God on his life. And you know the story. He messes up the first time, tries to do some of it in his own strength. Goes away to the desert, gets a job, gets married, and once again, you know, kind of settles into what you might call the safe life. But again, he hears the call of God and he abandons it for the sake of God. So this morning, I want you to leave today with that phrase ringing in your heart and your mind, and I want you praying and thinking about it in your own personal life. Abandon safe and live by faith. Abandon safe and live by faith. Because there's something in every one of us, I know it's in me, that says, play it safe, Jeff. Just play it safe. You know, especially if you have a family. Some of you know that, you know, as you're younger, you take risks. But the older you get, you take less and less risks. And you start playing it safer and safer. And you're unwilling to even take a risk. And sometimes even our Christianity, we look at it from this lens, right? Don't get too radical. Just be a good churchgoer. Don't get crazy. Don't go overboard. People will think you're unreasonable. But Moses, he's fled to the desert. We're going to look at a passage, Exodus 3. He's married. He's settled in again, if you will, to a safe existence. When God comes to him again, and challenges him to abandon safe and live by faith. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb. Horeb, by the way, synonymous with Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and I'll see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. I don't know about you, but if a bush was speaking to me, I might not have said, here I am. I might have said, there I was. I might have gotten out of there because that was a little strange, a little different. But it's literally, it says, the angel of the Lord. Oh, man, what a powerful encounter. I want you to see this. I want you to get this. God called to him from within the bush. Moses, here I am. Don't come any closer, God says. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. The Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, for I'm concerned about their suffering. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. By the way, some passages say it's the angel of the Lord, which is oftentimes synonymous with really an Old Testament representation of Jesus. So if you want to think of it like that, it's literally Jesus talking to him in the burning bush. Did you realize that? And God, by the way, there's a powerful passage there that I think we shouldn't run past, and I think you need to see it there. And let me just read it again. For I am concerned about their suffering. If you've ever fell prey to this lie, and it's an absolute bold-faced lie, that God was not concerned about your suffering, I want you to see that in Scripture. God was concerned about the suffering of the people of Egypt, and he heard their cry. What a powerful passage that is. God does care. He always cares. So here Moses is again, after settling in again to kind of a safe life, face to face with the call of God. By the way, the Bible says the call of God's without repentance. You know what that means? It means you can't get away from it. You can't escape from it. If your mom is praying for you and there's a call of God on your life, there's nowhere you're going to be able to run from that. And here's what I believe. I'm going to go a step further. I think you're all called. I think you're all chosen as saints in Christ. I think God has a purpose and a plan for every one of you. But let me talk about safe for just a minute, because safe will keep you trapped in the past. Did you realize that? If you play it safe, it's going to keep you trapped in the past. We're oftentimes chained to the past. Pastor Bert had a great illustration up here several weeks ago, the big blocks and a chain. That's what safe will do for you. It'll keep you chained to your past, and you'll never break free. And let me just say to you this morning, there's so much more. See, Jesus came to turn those wounds of your past, and sometimes it's the wounds of our past that keep us chained to them. But you know what happens when a wound heals? There's a scar, but a scar is very different than a wound, right? A scar is a representation of something that has happened before, but it's a past event, and it's healed. But the enemy wants to keep your wounds open and fresh so that they're still alive and so that you are still thinking about them and so that you are still controlled by them. Let me just say to you, Jesus wants to heal the wounds. Whatever the wounds may be from your past, he wants to bring complete healing to them. And Jesus not only heals physically, he heals emotionally. Amen? So whatever the scars of your past are, or even your present, he wants to bring healing. There will be a scar, and you can see, but it's almost like a memorial to his goodness. You can look at that scar and say, you know what? There was a time in my life I was controlled by this, but I'm no longer. Jesus was my faithful healer. Isaiah 43, I love this passage, verse 18 and 19. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. And this is God speaking. I'm about to do something brand new, and it's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the bad land. I mean, it just gets exciting because our God is the God who's always doing something new. It's why we're called New Song, New Song. Because God wants you and I to sing a new song. God wants to do something new in your life. Wherever you are in this journey, he has something new for you. See, Moses killed an Egyptian. He did something wrong. He messed up. But you know what? Even that didn't stop him ultimately from fulfilling his ultimate calling in God. Don't let safe keep you trapped in your past. And also, safe will keep you satisfied with the today if you're not careful. See, the danger with satisfaction is complacency. It breeds complacency in our lives. See, to learn and grow requires change. To learn and grow requires change. I read a study today, and I'll probably reference this in a deeper way in a sermon in the future, but it's about a 50-year study that was done by a group of Harvard scientists to try to determine. They had a group of 600 people they've tracked for over 50 years. It's called the Gluck study. through Harvard to see what caused people who lived longer, what were the components. They narrowed it down to seven things, and one of the seven, in fact, the first in the list as I read it, was they were people who continued to learn. They were people who were continuing to grow, and these people, by a great percentage, outlived those who no longer were learning and growing. There's something so powerful about allowing God to continue to change us. Because change is hard, and change is scary. I don't know if you've noticed that. If I'd been living in Pharaoh's house, I imagine that was a pretty sweet deal. I doubt that Moses had to get up and go to the refrigerator very often. Somebody probably brought him whatever he wanted. I was hoping things would be like that in my house. They are not. They are not like that at all. In fact, it's me usually bringing something to someone else. And I'm okay with that because I'm called to be a servant. Amen? But it was a sweet deal living in the palace. And you know the picture, the big palms, you know, and someone feeding grapes. And boy, it just, you know, pretty nice setup. And Moses left it all behind. Left it all behind. Exodus 2:11, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where he saw his own people were. And he watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. I got to tell you, I believe that wasn't the first time that Moses saw one of his own people being beaten. I think it was a pretty regular occurrence. But for some reason, a holy discontent, and I love those two words, holy discontent. Let that just maybe settle into your heart a little bit. It's that thing that settles in there and it starts to build and grow, and at some point you can't take it anymore. You got to do something about it. You look around and you see injustice. You look around and you see poverty. You look around and you see need. And you go, you know what? God's put me here to help meet that, to help heal that, to help address that. You know, it's getting to that place where you're just not satisfied with your life in its status quo. You want it to be something more. You want to do something more. Moses says, how can I put up with this? I don't know about you, but it's that holy discontent that'll help you, that'll encourage you to have a better marriage, to have a better job, to have a better family. See, if you're satisfied, you'll never change. And you'll never let God show you the more that he has in store for you. So playing it safe will keep you satisfied today. It'll also keep you afraid of tomorrow. And the enemy will keep you from realizing the future that God has for you. Let me say this, and you probably should write this down and meditate on this week too. Something that God has for you is bigger than your capacity. Let me say it again. Something that God has for you in your life is bigger than your capacity. In other words, it's bigger than you can do on your own. And that's a lot of times how you know it's something that God's calling you to. You know the story of Moses. God calls him to a task that is way beyond his capacity. God, who, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? I don't speak well, et cetera, et cetera. He makes all kinds of excuses. The reason is he knows he can't do it on his own. And whatever God's called you to, you can't do it on your own either. And that's a great place to be, because it's that place where all of a sudden you begin to realize your deep, deep need for God in your life. See, Moses probably felt at this point in the journey, I tried once and it didn't work. Did it my own strength, messed it up. Exodus 4:13 says this, but Moses said, oh Lord, please send somebody else to do it. Have you ever done that? You ever had that holy discontent settle in and then said, you know, man, there's got to be somebody else who could do that? Well, I got to tell you, you're in good company. If you've ever done that, you're in good company, because that happened in Scripture a few times. But you also know what happened. God wouldn't relent. He just kept moving and working on the person's heart until they got to the place to trust him. See, in order to really live life, you have to take risks. I mean, safe is the place that says, I'm not going to take a risk. Safe is the place that misses that opportunity for change. Safe is the place that says, you know, I really want to make a difference for the children in our city or the children in the world or whatever the cause or concern might be, but I'm just afraid to step out. I'm just afraid to take that step of faith. We're praying for Jen Dupin this morning who has been sensing and feeling a call from God to step out and start a dance ministry, really start a 501c3 nonprofit organization that uses dance to glorify God and to preach the message of the gospel through artistic expression. It's an awesome thing. And, you know, this morning it was funny. She didn't know what I was going to preach on. I didn't know what she was going to request prayer for. She said, I'm standing right there and I'm about to take this step of faith, but it's scary. And I'm like, take the step. Take the step, Jen. Trust the Lord. Just stop making those funny faces on my phone, would you? Anyway, abandon safe and live by faith. Say it with me one more time, would you? Abandon safe and live by faith. So here's Moses' final words of encouragement as we come to our close today. To live by faith, recognize that God's already at work in you. You ever taken the time? When I was in seminary, I had to do a 50-page paper laying out a timeline of my life and looking at my life and really thinking and praying about episodes and situations and circumstances in my life where God had been preparing and planning and leading me. And it was a very interesting process to do that. And I began to see how things really made sense as I looked at these points on the timeline of my life. God's already been working in your life. I'm convinced of it. Most of the time, we just don't take the time to stop and look at how he's been shaping us, molding us, directing us. Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. You know, it wasn't just the old parental pride thing, you know, our boy, he is special. No, it was a sense of prayer and a sense that God had set him apart. And I don't know about you, I feel that way with all three of my kids. I've been praying since day one for all three of them, that God would set them apart and use them in special ways. I don't think they're ordinary kids. I don't think your kids are ordinary kids. I think your kids are extraordinary kids that God wants to do, not just natural, but supernatural things through, really, to change the world. See, God's not surprised by today. He's been moving and working in your life long before you even realized it. By the way, supernatural, it's a word we throw around a lot. What's it mean? Anything that God can do for us that we just can't do for ourselves. You couldn't save yourself. You can't do a miracle. You can't heal anybody. But you know what? God is a God of supernatural means. Next, Moses, I think, would say to us, to live by faith, refuse to be defined by anything but God. Refuse to be defined by anything but God. Listen, look at the passage. It's awesome. Hebrews 11:24-27. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, listen to these words. I love this. Just, powerful. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Let me just rehearse that real quick. He refused, he chose, he regarded, and he persevered. Man, powerful stuff. Let God define who you are. Your identity is in Christ. Here's what the Bible says about you. If you're not really sure who you are, listen to this list of biblical truths that reveal who God made you to be. This is scripture, folks. I am complete in him. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2:10. You're alive with Christ, Ephesians 2:5. You're free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. You're far from oppression and fear doesn't come near you, Isaiah 54:14. You're born of God and the evil one doesn't touch you, 1 John 5:18. You are holy and without blame before him in love, Ephesians 1:4. You have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. You have a peace from God that passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7. You have the greater one living in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. You've received the gift of righteousness and you reign as a king in life by Jesus Christ, Romans 5:17. Need I go on? That's all about you. Amen. I'm glad you guys clapped and amen. I didn't know what I was going to do if you didn't after that. I'm just going to give up. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. To live by faith, you impact others around you. Hebrews 11:28 and 29. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. See, Moses' life made a huge difference in those around him, and so can yours. And I'm just going to keep beating this drum until you guys get it. I think there's a ministry. There's something God wants to put on your heart. There's something that you are called to do that if you will do it, it'll change history and eternity for somebody else. Really, the question is, will you be obedient? I want to encourage you today, abandon safe, live by faith. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Worship team, you guys come on back up. Ministry team, come up, please.